Okay, good morning. Shalom Aleichem. Great to see everybody. A new week. We are getting close. This week is the last week before we begin Slichos. This Motzei Shabbos is Slichos Aba'alein Latova, which is pretty amazing. I know we're in August, but the Jewish calendar says Slichos is coming up. It's upon us. That means Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, the Yemen Narayim is right here. Baruch Hashem. We're going to continue on in Sefer Shoftim. Last week, we did a deep dive, an analysis into the life of Gideon. And then we saw that Gideon, many of the actions that Gideon did, it was like two sides to them. There could have been a justification for what he did, Sukkos Penuel. But at the same time, there could have been a personal reason, a vendetta, or a ulterior motive as to why he would do or make certain decisions. And it's very unclear how Gideon ends up. We see that he's humble, that he very much wants to lead the Jewish people for good reasons. And he never saw himself as a particular leader of Klal Yisrael. And at the same time, while that was going on, he made some rookie decisions. And as Gideon passes away, he decides, not to take the mantle leadership for himself at the end of his life. And he also does not pass the leadership on to his children. Klal Yisrael asked that, Gideon, we want you to be our leader. And then you are so great, we want your children to be our leaders, your children to be leaders following that. Gideon does not officially appoint a child to be his leader, to be the next one to follow him. That leaves us in a void. Gideon dies, and this is again a very cyclical part of the refrain of Sefer Shoftim, whereas a shofet stands up, leads the Jewish people, and then things, right after that shofet dies, things fall apart. And Gideon here leaves over 70 children. He has many wives. All of his children are from his wives, except for one. One of his children is from a Pilegesh. Okay, that Pilegesh's name, the son of the Pilegesh, is Avimelech, which we pointed out already is a very interesting name, because Gideon purposefully did not want to become king, yet he named his child Avimelech, my father is king. My father is king. Avimelech, as we learned, convinced all Baal Shechem that he should be the leader of Klal Yisrael. It's better for them to have one leader versus 70. That's definitely true. It's definitely true that if you have more than one leader, you have no leaders. You need one person to take charge or to take responsibility and to be maybe a chief decision maker with a lot of other people obviously helping out. But to have 70 leaders over one nation, that is not going to work. You have one president of the United States. If you have two presidents of the United States, you have none. Because the second that they are not on the same page, everything falls apart or becomes undone.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Do we know of anything about the relationship that Avimelech had with his father? Before Gideon died, and also the relationship with his brothers before he killed them. Is there anything that we know about this?
No.
So it's silent.
Yeah, it's silent. It seems like they got along. Listen, it's not always so simple when you have a Pilegesh child. That child's probably pushed off to the side. They're not chosen first in recess to play football. They come from, compared to the other children, this child is illegitimate. So it very likely, just in a normal natural circumstance, this child did not feel the love of his siblings. That's probably just a given in general. And maybe they did go out of their way to be good. It's sometimes just a feeling that people have when they feel like a castaway. They feel like somebody that doesn't belong. So Gidon here, Avimelech goes ahead and he murders. That's where we left off. He murders all 70, or he thought all 70 of his brothers. One of the brothers, the youngest one, Yotam, flees. He kills him al Evan Achas. It seems like it was very easy. And nobody in the surrounding area stopped him. Or maybe they were afraid to stop him. They couldn't stop him. Not that they were agreeing or approving of his actions, but nothing was stopping him, which shows that gives someone more power, someone who is egotistical, and no one is intervening to stop or to pause or to cause him to reflect or to fight back or to explain what, then that person just adds fuel to the fire and the fire becomes bigger. And this is Avimelech. Avimelech takes men, the men who involve himself, Avimelech, the Navi does not have nice things to say about them. They are anashim rekim upochazim. They are empty people, impetuous individuals that need a place to go, outcasts, right? Outcasts in society. And these are the individuals that he is taking along with him for this wild ride. So he goes to Ophrah, he kills everybody, and Yotam is hiding. That's where we find ourselves right now. And we continue with Pasuk Vav. Good morning, David. Vayeasfu ko ba'al eshchem, chobes milo, vayalchu vayamlichu as Avimelech lemelech im elon mutzav asher b'shchem. The people of Shchem, again, Shchem is a place of disunity. It's a place where the Jewish people had been broken up before, and they continue to be broken up many times in history. So they, the Ba'alei Shechem, are the people that, you know, anoint Avimelech over them as king. Where do they do it? They do it in a prominent place in Shechem, called by the plain of the monument, or the king at the terebinth. Different interpretations exactly what that means, but it was a prominent place in Shechem, and that is where, I don't know, you do it in City Hall in Fairlawn, you do it in somewhere chashuv in that locale. Vayagidu liyotam. So it was told to Yotam. It's not clear who told Yotam this, but somebody, or you know, Vayagidu, many people were very nervous about what happened, obviously. And they went ahead and told Yotam that if you don't take action right now, we are going to snowball into something really, really bad. Vayagidu, or it's already bad, it's going to get worse. Vayelech v'yamod b'rosh hargrizim. So Yotam went up and he stood by Hargrizim. It's amazing shachar pratis that we learn about Hargrizim in the upcoming Parshios, that Hargrizim was a place where the Jewish people received the brachos and the klalos, right? We had different people standing on each of the mountains. And when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, they received the blessings and the curses. So Yotam stood upon Hargrizim, and he says the following: "Vayisa kolo vayikra." He raised his voice and he said, "Vayomer lahem, shimu elai ba'alei Shechem, vayishma aleichem Elokim." Listen, the citizens of Shechem, listen to me, and then Hashem will listen to you. What he's saying now is that I have something very important to say. And you can argue right now that it's just, or it's only Shechem that is anointed, has anointed Avimelech over them. And that doesn't really change the landscape of all of Klal Yisrael. But we've seen, and we will see later on in Tanakh as well, that most of the time, a leader starts with one city, one nation, or one Shevet. And then subsequently, they become leaders all over the entire Eretz Yisrael, or not. But they start with one. David HaMelech, for example, he started with Yehuda, and him leading Yehuda was for 7.5 years, was for a while before he eventually was taken as leader of all of Klai Yisrael for another 33 years. So it's not so simple, right? It's not, you can't overlook this, that he was just anointed over one, that's nothing. It is something very significant. So Yotam takes it significantly, and he says, you got to listen to me, and I'm going to tell you the following story. Okay? So, guys, ready for a story? This is a story. Haloch halchu ha'itzim limshoach alayim melech. The trees in the forest got together, and they said, listen, guys, right? The date palm and the esrog tree and the fig and the date and all these different trees, the apple and the orange and the pomegranate, they all got together for a meeting, a board meeting. And they said, Limshoch aleihem melech, we need to have a king. Who's the king of the trees? Right? We know the king of the jungle, right? Who is the king of the trees? Vayomru. And they said, oh, it's so simple. Who should be the king of the trees? Vayomru Lazayas Malcha Aleinu, the olive tree should be the tree that is our leader. What does the olive mean? Why the olive? What does the olive represent? Why the olive? So different interpretations here. What's so unique about the olive? The olive represents Torah, because from olives you get oil, for olive oil. Olive oil was used in the menorah, and that represents Torah. That's on one hand. But it represents the Rashi and others. Right here, it's Otniel ben Kenaz. Otniel ben Kenaz came from Shevet Yehuda. He was the first one of the Shoftim. And Shevet Yehuda is called a Zayis Ra'anan. It's called a olive tree. So this is what happened, right? The olive tree says, we want you to be the leader. So he says back, Vayomer lehem azayis, hechdalti eshdishni, asher bi yechabdu elokim lanashim, v'halachti lanua al eitzim. Right? Am I the person that you want me? Basically, he said no. But he said no. He said, by becoming the leader, then I will be giving up certain things about me. And I am not the type of guy, additionally, I'm not the type of guy that should reign over others. I'm not so important. I'm not so significant. I'm going to be the one that's going to wave over all the other trees. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. So, right? Because some part of leadership, he's writing, Matsudas David writes, right? That by becoming the leader, you have to less focus on oneself and one's own needs. You have to focus more on the klal. I'm not ready for that. And I'm not, I think, ra'oi to be the leader. Vayomer ha'etzim. I see a message. Jay. Okay, we'll see Jay. Who's up next? Vayomer ha'itzim. Next is, what's next? La te'ena. The te'ena is the fig tree. L'chi'at machi aleinu. And it's a little acute, I think, in a certain way, that the fig tree is in the feminine. L'chi'at machi aleinu. Mefarshim say here, the chiat machialina, why is it in feminine? Because this is referring to the leadership of Devora. And they're saying to Devora, Devora, we want you to be the leader now. Why is Devora symbolized by a fig tree? Figs are very sweet. And she taught very sweet Torah to Klal Yisrael. And right, she gave up her sweetness and gave it to the Jewish people. Batomer lamateina hechdalti esmaski, Vesinuvasi hatova. Balachti lanu al itim. Right? Am I the, again, the same language? Am I going to be giving up my sweetness for doing this? Or is my sweetness already gone? That I should be the one that's going to wave myself over all the other trees? So the answer is no. Vayomer ha'itzim la'gefen. So they went to the grapevine. L'chi'at machialenu. We want you to be our leader. Who is the grape? Who is represented by the grape? That is Gidom. Right, skipping a little bit. We skipped Ehud. We skipped a few. But by Tomalem, we want Ehud. We want Gidom to be our leader. Gidom is represented by the grapevine. Why grapes? Because just like wine is poured on the Mizbeach for Nesachim, Gidom himself built a Mizbeach for Hashem. Or Yayin Yisamach Lavav Enosh. Yayin makes people happy. And Gidom was our leader. He made people happy. This is not for me. I don't want to be the leader. So who they go to next? Vayomru. Kol ha'itzim. Now it's all the trees. And they realize that accepting leadership and getting a leader is not so easy. They went to the thorn bush. Vayomer kol ha'itzim el ha'atad lech ata meloch aleinu. We want you. Can you become our king? Vayomer ha'atad el ha'itzim. The thorn bush said to the other trees, "Im be'emes atem moshchim osi lamelach aleichem. If you really want me to be your leader, bo chasu betzili. Then I need you guys to take refuge in my shade. Okay, similar to the sukkah, take refuge in my shade. V'im ayin." If you don't take refuge in my shade, teitzei esh min ha'atad, I'm going to release a fire from the thorn bush, v'tochel es arzei ha'levanon, and it's going to eat up even the Lebanon trees, meaning the biggest and strongest and tallest trees. Who is the thorn bush? Yotam is saying this mashal, and he says, listen, this guy is dangerous. Listen to what he's saying. You want to accept me? Come close to me. Come close to me. He has thorns. The closer you get to the thorn bush, the more bruises and the more you get cut. It's dangerous. It's unsafe. And if you don't come close, then you see what he just did? He just murdered many, many people. He released this fire from him, from amongst himself, and he released it out to the Jewish people. He just murdered. That is not the way of true leadership. Vata im be'emes uvetamim asisem v'tamlichos avimelech. If he really wanted Avimelech to become king, im tova asisem im yirbal im beso im kigmul yadav asisem lo ashenocham avialecha ve'eshlech es nafsho minega ve'etzel eschem mi'abidan. Right? If you really want to do good, right? You're trying to act honorably. You're trying to do the right thing by my father, by Gidom, by taking one of his sons to become king, right? And you owe my father a tremendous amount of gratitude. He was willing to be Moser Nefesh for the Jewish people. And he saved you from Midian. By the time Kamtem al Beis Avi Hayom. And then what happens? You got up. He's now laying blame on them. He came into our house and he killed all 70 kids of Gidom. Al Evan Achas v'Tamlichu es Avimelech ben Amaso al Baal Yishchem ki Achichem. Look what he just did. Look what he just did. This is the guy that you want to take over? If you really want to do right by Gidom, Hayom azeu simcho ba'avimelech v'yismach kam hu bachem. there is no way that this is going to cause, this is what Gideon wants. What's going to happen right now is that if you get too close to him, it's going to be dangerous. And if you don't get close, you don't accept him right now, a fire is going to come out from Avimelech and consume all the Baalei Shechem. And it's going to consume Avimelech too. But you can fight back, right? You can go ahead and fight back. With that, what did Yotam do? Yotam said his piece, meaning he had to make a macha, he had to make a statement and say what he felt was the right thing to do. And then immediately after he made this statement, Vayanas Yosa, Yotam ran away. Vayivrach Vayelach Be'era. He ran away because he knew that right after this, once word got back to his brother, Avimelech, he was a dead man. So he ran away, he went to Be'era, Vayeshev Sham Bipnei Avimelech Achiv, and he hid there because of Avimelech, his brother. So he knew that you learn from here that when you see people doing something wrong, not always to do it with Chachma, but when you are a Gavra that has the right thing to say and people are going to respect you, then you need to say it. Even if people are going to continue to do the wrong thing, there is value in making that statement. Even if nobody is going to change, our responsibility sometimes is to make a macha, even though there will be zero results of it. Our responsibility is to make that and make that statement to show disapproval. It's important to be on record sometimes and express disapproval with what you are seeing before your eyes.
Rabbi Markowitz,
Rabbi Lapp, go ahead.
Yes. Who was the Kohen Gadol at that time? Why didn't they ask the Umar Tumim to appoint and tell them who the leader would be?
It's a good question. Why didn't they ask the Umar Tumim? They haven't asked the Umar Tumim up until now. They didn't ask the Umar Tumim with Gideon or with others. I don't know if that's how they use the Urim V'Tumim. They use it a lot when, should they go out to war? Should they not go out to war? Interestingly, it was not used in this, in this context.
Rabbi,
I don't know. Good point.
A stronger question. Where are all the religious leaders? It seems that here's a time where, again, which happens throughout history, that you need the religious leaders to step up and say, this is wrong. And yet, there's silence.
You're right. People are afraid of retribution. Can we blame them? Right? They're afraid of retribution. They're afraid. I don't know what. I don't know the answer. We have to assume that there were religious leaders at this time, right? There was not a void at this moment in complete, no Torah, no. It's a very good question. But, when you have a strong leader like Avimelech, who is going to, the either could argue is, let's see if he gets even stronger. It's over one city right now. But also there's a fear of retribution. If you speak up, you're taking a stand. Speak up, you got to be on the run. Look at Yotam, now he's in hiding. Maybe I could do more good from my small little shteller over here, my little location, then making a macha. That's a general, conflict that religious leaders may have when deciding whether to speak up against something or to lay low. Where can they have the most impact? That's sometimes a question. And sometimes it's not always to make that statement. It's a very good, I think it's a great question, Andy. It's a great question. I hope I don't forget. If you were in Shul the Shabbos, but remember to reach out to Rabbi Lapp today, tomorrow. Rabbi Lapp's 90th birthday was this past week. He turned 90, and we wish him bracha and atzlacha and continued nachas and health for him and his entire family. So what happens next? Things stay the same. Vayasar, Avimelech al Yisrael shaloshanim. It's a funny language, and if I like the way the Sfaria has it here, Vayasar doesn't mean that he was the leader or that he led them in the right way. It means that he held them in Srara, like he held power over them. He held sway over them. That's the way the Mitzudas David says it. Not that he was a good leader, but he led with power. That's not how leaders need to lead. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs at Sal has an article, I think in Parshas Baal Osra, about this, where he talks about there's two different types of leaders. You lead with power or you lead with influence, right? And he says that the greatest leader is influence. They influence other people to do better. They influence other people to inspire them to become leaders themselves. Leading with power goes nowhere. It actually leads to treachery and to danger and to people who are afraid. And it's a very unhealthy environment if one leads with power, right? The second, I'll just bring in the National Guard. I'll bring the whatever. That's not a healthy and safe way to lead. The power of influence is really, really important. Vayasar. That's not who he was. That's not what he was doing. It was dangerous. It was unhealthy. Vayishlach Elokim ruach ra'ah bein Avimelech u'bein, and Hashem sent a ruach ra'ah to create a discord between the two parties. Vayivgedu Baalei Shechem ba'Avimelech. The Baalei Shechem rebelled against Avimelech. Lavo Chamas Shivim b'nei Yerubal v'damam l'asum al Avimelech achiyam she'arag osam Baalei Shechem asher chizku es yadav v'arog et tzachiv. So they, Baalei Shechem, within 3 years, they woke up. How they wake up? Hashem influenced them, right, to wake up and to realize that what they were doing was so wrong and they need to do something. Vayasimulo Baalei Shechem arvim al roshei harim. The Baalei Shechem made ambushes on the heads of the by the roshei harim, by the mountains. The exilu es kol asher yavor aleim v'derech v'yigad l'avimelech. Right, and the people of Shechem robbed everybody that went by. We'll see why this is significant next week. We'll see how, you know, who challenges Avimelech. It's a man named Gaal that we're going to meet, and we'll see what he does. We'll see how Avimelech, who is a dangerous guy, what he does to, you know, attack back, and how does he fight, and how does he defend his position. And we'll do that next week. Bezrat Hashem, we'll finish up the ninth perek, and then we'll probably take a pause for Yantif, and we'll learn some inyanim of Yamim No Ra'im. Well, we will stop here for today. Wish everybody a great, great and healthy week.
Okay. Let's go, Rabbi.